The hour of the time may be contacted at HOT. That's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.
Over the next few days, ad nauseum.
Yeah, and I've watched the one tower collapse. It's hard, you know. They showed the plane. They actually had a video of the second plane hitting.
Yeah.
And they also said that prior to the to this, that they were warned. The flight from Boston to L.A. Someone called in and said they were being hijacked, and two of the stewardesses or attendants. I'm not sure whether male or female attendants had been stabbed to death, and that they were breaking into the flight compartment. This came over about a half hour ago. It was out of a broadcast out of, I believe, Oregon or Washington,
mm-hmm.
where someone there apparently had a phone and had notified the officials there someplace, American Airlines or wherever, United, that they were under attack inside the plane.
Yeah, there's been several reports that the people on the planes had called other people and officials and had told them that they were hijacked and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How much of that is true and how much of it's fabrication, or whether it's all true or whether it's all fabrication,
exactly.
We just have no way of knowing.
But anyway, I watched the tower collapse, the top of it, and it's a little difficult to believe that the plane did that. I mean, certainly it was on fire.
Well, the plane absolutely did not do it.
It looks like there may have been. I wonder if there had been secondary charges. This thing is so well coordinated, they were planned to go off.
Yeah, there were explosions, and New York has heard the explosions just before the building collapsed, and then the building collapsed straight down as if the explosives were placed and wired by a professional building bringing down demolition team.
They
didn't fall over. They fell straight down in themselves.
That's correct. They collapsed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it appears that
a professional job, by golly.
Yeah, that was no amateur that coordinated. This is quite a coordinated plan to be able to do that. And just wonder what happened with the fourth flight if it didn't make its target. Something went wrong. But obviously, if there were internal charges, this was extremely well coordinated.
Something obviously went wrong.
Yep.
A lot of flights have what they call an air marshal on board. That's a federal agent who is a United States marshal who's designated as an air marshal who fly on American flights to protect the plane against hijacking.
That's correct.
And terrorism. And so there may have been an air marshal in that plane who may have succeeded in killing the hijackers or at least causing enough of a disturbance where the plane crashed before it ever reached its target.
Yeah.
Or there may have been some brave passengers on there who attacked the hijackers and caused the plane to crash.
Yeah.
Nope, but nobody's ever going to know because there are no survivors.
That's true. We'll never know. This will be another one of the unsolved mysteries. But at any rate,
but if they can recover the flight recorder, and if they ever release it to the public, then we might find some acts of heroism there.
Yeah, well, that's the key. Will they? Will they allow it to be?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but at any rate, the next thing I'm sure that we'll hear is, as you talked about, it reminds me a bit of the MIA POW situation. We wrap ribbons around trees and wave the flag as if that's going to really make a difference.
As if that's going to do any good.
Yeah, exactly. I never got tied up into that. And I'm a Vietnam-era vet, and I feel sorry for all the guys that left. But I'm sure that they never were retrieved, but I'm sure that the powers that be could care a flying, you know what.
Yeah.
About how many ribbons we wrap around a tree.
That's right.
It's just a question. It's what it's sympathetic.
You know what that stuff does?
Yeah, I know what it's been.
It makes Americans feel good in their impotence to do anything actually about it. It gives them some feeling that they've done something. I tied a ribbon around the tree. I've done something to bring the POWs home.
Mm-hmm.
I've done something to remember the people who died in the World Trade Center. It's not about the victims. It's not about the POWs. It's about themselves feeling
yeah.
better because there's really nothing else that they can do.
It's a feel-good thing.
Yeah, I did something.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take that away from them. They want to tie ribbons around trees. It's okay with me.
Well, that's the way I feel. If it makes you feel good, go for it. But it really is doing nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you're not going to be any more a less American if you don't tie a ribbon around the tree.
That's true. And you're not going to be any more an American if you put a flag in your porch.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to call in and say, we're listening to you here in New York. And I've spread the word. Got several people with shortwave, some of them down south of me here in Cuba, friends of mine that are retired. Are listening to you on a regular basis and think you're doing a hell of a job.
Well, thank you. Thank
and
you
appreciate
much.
It. Stay on, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, we're with you. Take
care.
I'll
try. I'll be here, you know, as long as necessary. Thank you for calling. If that's all night and all day tomorrow, if that's what Alan Weiner wants me to do, then that's what I'll do. If he calls up and says, hey, Bill, I think that's enough, then I'll go off the air. But I think Alan's right. Somebody needs to be here that will tell you the truth, not stroke you, not play up on your sentimentality or your emotions, not work you up into some useless, futile hysteria, not prepare you to accept all the draconian laws and executive orders that are going to come out of this. You need somebody that will tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. And unfortunately... And I'm not too pleased with this fact. That just happens to be me in this whole world. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Rick.
Hi.
Yes, you can.
Hi, Rick.
I just feel empty about the situation in New York.
Rick, can you put the phone right in front of your mouth and talk a lot louder?
I'm just kind of feeling empty about the situation in New York, and what I was trying to get through was, why did, in the first bombing of the World Trade Center, who picked that building? Was it that blind terrorist, or was it somebody in our government?
Well, in the first place, that blind terrorist leader was made a terrorist leader, was given the funds and trained to be a terrorist leader, and to be able to train terrorists to operate by the Central Intelligence Agency. That all came out in the trial. And they were brought to this country from Afghanistan after they had defeated the Soviet Union. They were brought to this country as a reward. They were monitored and followed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation all the time. The Federal Bureau of Investigation knew everything that they were doing. Members of that organization were reporting to their FBI handlers every single day. There were tapes made by some of these informants who were working within the cell. Where the informants were trying to convince the FBI not to allow them to use real explosives because they didn't want anybody to get hurt. They wanted to put inert ingredients like beans or something in there instead of explosives. And the FBI ordered them to use real explosives, knew the exact day that they were going to plant them and go in there and detonate those explosives in the World Trade Center. And believe it or not, the only thing that prevented them from bringing the whole building down, because they were going to park that truck right next to and right up against one of the main supporting columns of the World Trade Center building, which would have acted like a shape charge and could have brought the building down. Now, I don't know if it would have brought the building down because it's only one supporting member, but it could have if that was one of the major supporting members, because it's a huge building. And they didn't do anything to stop it. They allowed the bomb to be detonated, and over 1,000 people were killed or injured during that attack. And those tapes were transcribed and run in the New York Times. It's a matter of record. It's not conjecture. I'm not making this up. It's fact.
Well, I understand all that, but I would...
And the FBI and the BATF also knew, and the Oklahoma City Police Department, and the governor of Oklahoma, and the Oklahoma City Bomb Squad and Fire Department all knew that the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building was going to be blown up. They knew the exact day. They knew the exact time. And they allowed it to happen.
I understand that, too. But I want to get back. Who picked the building?
I have no idea.
It never came out in the transcripts of the trial, do you?
No, not that I know of. I have no idea who picked the building.
That's why I just can't figure out why they picked.
Well, if you're going to do a terrorist act, if you want to make a big impact and scare the hell out of people, you want to create the most damage that you can possibly create. The World Trade Center towers employ over 50,000 people between the two towers. Plus, at any given time, there could be another 10,000 tourists and visitors and delivery people and people just conducting business in there who aren't employed, or maybe even more. I mean, you know, I'm not a terrorist, but if I was a terrorist, that's the kind of target I would pick.
Okay.
As an American patriot, I would never pick any of those targets, even if the United States government had declared war on us and we were really at war. I would never attack any of those targets.
No.
None of them. It's senseless. I would attack targets that would further our cause, that would help us win a war of restoration of constitutional Republican government. And I wouldn't attack ever unless we were at war.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome. So as to who chose the target, I have no idea. But, you know, putting myself in the place of a terrorist leader trying to pick a target, those are perfect targets. Lots of people work in the Pentagon. Lots of people work in the World Trade Center towers. You know, it's a no-brainer. It really is a no-brainer. When you attack the Pentagon, you attack the nation. The nation. Not the traitors in the nation. You're attacking the nation. That's why no American patriot would ever attack the Pentagon. You attack the World Trade Center Tower. Why would an American patriot waste time attacking the World Trade Center towers and killing all those people that work there when that's not going to further their cause at all? They just wouldn't do it. It's a no-brainer. You want to know who did it? Figure out who benefits. That's who did it. Whoever benefits is the culprit. I don't know who that is yet, but I'm telling you right now, whoever it is the culprit. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill, it seems to me, Dave, calling, I'd like to make a comment. It seems to me that it's too much of an intricate plan not to have been a superbly coordinated style Oklahoma City style bombing. By possibly the same planners. I'd like to know your comment on maybe one through three or something, one, two things that would be a long-term implication for us Americans.
Well, I've already given you that. It's an attack upon freedom.
Pardon?
It's an attack upon freedom. You watch. In the next few months, you're going to see the Bill of Rights go right down the tubes. You're going to see things implemented in this country in the name of safety and security of the American people, that is going to be draconian in nature and will actually be an attack upon the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And you may see a lot of attempts to get people to finally agree to disarm the American people, even though we had nothing to do with any of this.
Worldwide implications, do you see anything happening there?
Yeah, we're going to attack either one or several foreign nations who have traditionally harbored terrorist organizations, and it's going to look like we're going after them seriously, but of course we won't, just like in the past, like when they fought the Gulf War. They never took out Saddam Hussein. They've always known where, you know, here's all this speculation that Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols and the guys that blew up the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City actually had help from Osama bin Laden. Timothy McVeigh was able to find Osama bin Laden and talk to him and make an agreement and reach a contract where he was going to come over here and help him blow up the Alfred P. Mira Federal Building. But nobody in the intelligence community or the military or law enforcement can ever find Osama bin Laden, although they have all this intelligence. They always know what he's doing and what he's planning. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, they're full of crap. They've always known where he is. They know where he is today. If they wanted him, they could have gone and got him a long time ago. They're not gonna, because he helps bring us closer to world totalitarian socialist government.
You see the same...
Plus, he was also created by the CIA. He was one of those leaders in Afghanistan that the CIA trained and sent in advisors to help train his people to fight the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. We created the guy. He belongs to us. We're probably still financing him.
Do you see the same people involved on Flight 800, Oklahoma City, and this?
No, Flight 800 was totally different. I told you what Flight 800 was.
Okay.
The Clinton administration made an agreement with Iran to where they could send one of their submarines over here with a surface-to-air missile and shoot down TWA Flight 800 or some other plane. It just happened to be TWA Flight 800 in retaliation for the civilian airliner that the USS Vincennes, one of our missile ships over there, shot down by mistake. And it was to prevent Iran from sending terrorists over here to do what we've seen happen this morning. It was a tit for tat. We shot down your civilian airline. We killed a lot of your civilians and loved ones and relatives. And if you'll agree not to send terrorists to this country and blow up our cities and attack us on our home soil and make the Clinton administration look bad, we'll let you bring one of your submarines over here with a surface-to-air missile and shoot down one of our airliners, and we'll cover it up for you. That's exactly what happened.
Bill, do you see this as the beginning to a series of things happening sequentially, days, weeks apart across the U.S.?
I don't know what you mean by days or weeks. I don't know their timetable.
Yeah.
All I know is they have to do certain things to accomplish certain goals that will lead to the implementation of the regional areas of the New World Order and the establishment of a worldwide totalitarian socialist government. I know these things have to happen. I just don't know what their timetable is as to when exactly it's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball.
So bin Laden's a fall guy for this one.
Bin Laden is a creature of the CIA. It was created by the CIA.
Yeah.
Was financed by the CIA. Was trained by the CIA.
But this planning today and carrying out of this was domestically based, evidently.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows who was flying those planes. Nobody knows who the hijackers were. Nobody knows who they came from, except maybe people in government who are not telling us.
Or the planning, because there were so many bombs, you say, that brought that straight down.
Let me tell you something. If the CIA or the FBI had no indication and no advance forewarning of any of this, then they were part of it. Because this took too long to plan, involved too many people, was too well coordinated and carried out, involved too much training, you can't do that.
Is this going to wake America up, or is it
going
to...
No. Aren't you listening? Go to C-SPAN or CNN. Listen to the callers. They're as stupid as ever, even stupider.
Yep. I'm sorry about this, yes.
Yeah, I am too. Very
Thank
sorry.
You, Bill.
But you listen to the call. Just listen to the callers.
Yes.
If you get any good feelings from what these people are saying, it will just shock the hell out of me.
I agree. Thank you very much, Bill.
You're welcome. Yeah, if you want to know what's going to happen, listen to the callers calling into the major media. You'll hear the stupidity of the American people, their ignorance. They're already calling for their own enslavement. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Did you hear something about Fox being able to get in and meet with Osama bin Laden and interview him?
Yeah.
How long ago was that, do you know?
I don't know, a few months.
A few months, and this was at the same time that there was this massive manhunt supposedly underway.
But Fox Television managed to get in and interview Osama bin Laden, but the CIA can't find him? The FBI can't find him? Give me a break.
And the other thing that's really irksome is there's
Timothy McVeigh found him and got him to help blow up the Alfred P. Muir Federal Building? Give me a break.
Right.
The entire machination of the United States government, all of their intelligence assets and organizations and the military and the law enforcement and the FBI and all their spies, they know everything that Osama bin Laden is planning and saying, because they always release it to the news, but they can't find him. But Fox News gets right in there and gets an interview right under their nose. Give me a break.
All right. We're in a commercial break now, Bill. Did you know that?
Pardon?
We're not live.
You're not live? Oh, I didn't
know
that.
You're not live right now.
No, I didn't know that. I didn't even know you were calling from WBCQ.
No, I just wondered if you could maybe bring that up off the air after I get off with you.
Well, you should have called, you know, you should have done it while I was on the air.
Well, I didn't know that they were going to cut you off when they did.
Well, I'm sorry, but...
My other question for you was, Chuck Hagel is apparently the spokesman right now. He's one of, I think, only two members of the Senate who were invited to the Bilderberg meetings the last couple of times. I think that's very important that people realize that connection and make that connection.
Yeah.
So he's been splayed all over CBS. In fact, he was just on there just a minute ago talking.
Yeah.
About how America has...
Oh, yeah, they'll have all the... They'll have the Council on Foreign Relations spokespeople and the Bilderberger spokespeople and Freemason spokespeople and, you know, they'll all be...
It's amazing. Hagel was not even considered a senior senator in any way, shape, or form until... No. You know, he started going to the Bilderberg meetings, and now he's like the chief spokesman for all this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll get off the air, but please do me a favor, if you can, if you get an opportunity, tell people about this.
Well, I'd rather you call back. You don't
have to
tell them you're from WBCQ.
Okay,
you can if you want to and say, hey, I'm on the staff at WBCQ, and I'm just listening to you, and I think these points ought to be brought up.
Okay.
Okay?
Good enough.
But
thanks.
Give me about 10 minutes, because I got to go to the bathroom.
All right.
I don't want to soothe anyone. I just want to say that this act, I don't think, was an act of God, but that we should all pay attention to this act, because if God does decide to punish this nation, it will be much worse than this.
Thanks for the call. You have been seeing these pictures over the course of the last couple of hours, but we're going to show it to you again from New York One as the second plane crashed into the World Trade Center. This is what had happened just past 9 o'clock this morning. We will continue with your phone calls. Alameda, California, go ahead.
Start off by giving my prayer for the victims and families of the victims in the bombing. I'm a Jew, and I have a lot of Muslim and Arab friends. And I have a real concern that there's going to be a backlash against Muslims and Arabs. And I really am praying that people can really see each person as an individual and understand that these terrorists are, you know, not normal people. They believe that they are superhuman beyond mortality. And I just want everybody to pray for peace. It's the most significant thing any American can do right now is pray for peace and pray for the victims, and that's all I'm asking for.
Bonners Ferry, Idaho, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm in Idaho, and I just want to say that the entire region here, we have a tendency to be isolated. We are just overwhelmed, and you know, our hearts really go out to the people there. And I just want to say personally that I will support Bush if he does try to take, you know, real heavy action against people who do this. I pray to God that we find the people who did this. And I really believe we need to start taking, an active stance on borders. I'm about 10 miles from Canada, you know, 20 miles from Canada. We don't have any problem there, but it's still overwhelming to me, and the only thing I can think is that we really need to start concentrating on our society in general. The rules have changed. We need to get that through our heads.
Thanks for the call. Next is Port Orchard, Washington. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to respond to that lady who goes from California. She had a lot of Muslims and Arab friends, and she said we should view everybody as a person. Absolutely, we should view everybody as a person, but we have to remember that Muslim religion is not like Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism, for that matter, because it says if you kill anybody who does not believe in Allah or Muslim religion, you're going to heaven. Imagine the population of five countries who all wanted to be in heaven and wanted to take us with them. As far as I'm concerned, if you see a green flag in front of any home in California, Port Orchard, anywhere in the United States, bomb it. Because if you don't bomb them, they'll bomb us.
Thanks, Raleigh, North Carolina. Go ahead, please.
Yes, my comment is about please do not keep releasing
anything. What do you mean, thanks? Did you hear what that guy said? He said, thanks. She's telling people to go out, and if you see somebody who's got a green flag on their porch, you're supposed to bomb them. And this clown says, thanks. Is this...
any other attack? Also, I want to let people know that this is not... what God wants for anybody. This is man's responsibility, and God has nothing to do with this. We should believe more in what God has to offer to us, and we should keep helping each other. And we have to thank also this country for all the opportunities that this country has brought to many other people from many other countries. And that's my comment, basically.
Thanks for the call. We're going to show you what New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani had to say about 20, 25 minutes ago as he met with reporters, and we'll come back with more of your reaction.
And our focus now has to be on saving as many lives as possible. We have hundreds of police officers and firefighters who are engaging in rescue efforts in Lower Manhattan. I want to thank Governor Pataki for the incredible cooperation and coordination, including deploying the National Guard that will be available to relieve our police officers and firefighters and emergency workers in the next couple of hours. The governor and I just spoke to the President of the United States. The coordination with the federal government from the time of the first attack has been excellent, including closing off the airspace around Manhattan and doing everything that can possibly be done in the face of this barbaric act to make the city secure. And we will strive now very hard to save as many people as possible and to send a message that the city of New York and the United States of America is much stronger than any group of barbaric terrorists, that our democracy, that our rule of law, that our strength and our willingness to defend ourselves will ultimately prevail. And I'd ask the people of New York City to do everything that they can to cooperate, not to be frightened, to go about their lives as normal. Everything is safe right now in the city, and the people who are doing the relief effort need all the help they can get. And then,
Jerry's comment, folks, our democracy and the rule of law, the two are incompatible. Democracy has nothing to do with the rule of law. The rule of law occurs under a constitutional republican government. A democracy depends solely upon the will of the majority, which is always a tyranny against the minority, whoever and whatever the minority might be. You hear this stuff all the time. This is not a democracy. It was never intended to be. It's a constitutional republic. Nowhere in the Constitution for the United States of America will you ever see the word democracy. It's not in there. However, in Article 4, Section 4, it guarantees to every state and every citizen a constitutional republican form of government. In fact, it doesn't even say constitutional. Guarantees to every state a republican form of government. Guarantees! So what is all this democracy stuff, huh?
Add for the health and the needs of the people who are still at risk is being done, and that we will continue to work to make sure that we get through this as strongly and quickly as possible. I want to thank the federal administration. Secretary Thompson has been on the phone with me a number of times, as well as the president, for what they are offering and prepared to do. And we're just confident that while this is a horrible attack and one that is despicable and really unthinkable in its magnitude, we will get through this, and we will continue to have a great and free country, state, and society.
Do we know the number of casualties at this point, sir?
I don't think we really want to speculate about that. The number of casualties.
Well, we've already heard all this, folks, and I'm not going to go through it again. It's a bunch of bullshit. I can guarantee you, absolutely guarantee, that between the Pentagon and the two towers, the World Trade Center in New York City, there is at least 10,000 dead. Listen to me very carefully. There's at least 10,000 dead. Over 50,000 people work, are employed in the Twin Towers, or were employed, I should say, in the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. And at any given moment, there's thousands of tourists in those buildings, and delivery people, and pickup people, and people who are going there to visit other people or who have appointments there, who work and live somewhere else altogether differently, that you could probably say that this morning there were probably in excess of 60,000 people in those two buildings. So when I say 10,000 dead, I'm being very conservative. You also have to take into consideration that when those buildings collapsed, there were hundreds of firefighters, police officers, emergency medical technicians, just citizens who went there to try to help rescue people during the attempted evacuation of those buildings. And hundreds, maybe 1,000 of those people. Higher than that. And for every person killed, there's going to be 2 or 3 or 4 that were injured, wounded, maimed, whatever. I hate to say it. I don't like to say it. It's a terrible, terrible thing to even contemplate. But nevertheless, it's the truth. And you'll see when the final figures come out, my figures will probably seem paltry in comparison. Because I am being very, very conservative based upon the numbers that we know were in the building and that we can estimate may have been in the building in addition to those people. And there was no warning when the explosions went off and the buildings collapsed. No warning whatsoever. It came down, and anybody that was in there, I'm not going to say that none of them survived, because God, in His infinite mercy, sometimes sees fit to work some wonderful miracles. But I can say that most of them are dead. Most of the people in those buildings, when they finally came down, are dead. 520-333-4578 is the number. Any time that anyone calls, we will go directly to your call, whether you're calling to report some new information or whether you're calling just to tell us about your feelings and what this means to you or portends for the people, or whatever you want to talk about. But please keep it to what happened this morning. Whenever you call, we'll go directly to your call, regardless of what else is going on at that time. Unless there's some breaking news that all of a sudden crops up that we didn't know about before. We'll finish that, and then we'll go to you. So the number is 520-333-4578. We're broadcasting worldwide on WBCQ, The Planet, 7.415 megahertz worldwide, shortwave radio. And if you, wherever you're at in the world, you can receive this broadcast if you have the proper radio and the right antenna. And we're also broadcasting here in the Round Valley on 101.1 FM Eager, just for the process of bringing the news of this terrible tragedy to the people here in the Round Valley. And once this is all over, 101.1 FM will go back off the air again, simply because I can't afford to operate it anymore. The only reason I'm doing this today is because there are so many people in this valley who would not get the truth or the news unless they were listening to this broadcast, because they're at work. And while they're working, they can turn on the radio and listen, but they can't do television, can't do a lot of other things. And, you know, even if normally they couldn't, I think today they could. I think most employers will understand and probably will want to hear what's happening also. So 101.1 FM is on the air today, maybe all night tonight, maybe tomorrow. Once the bulk of this, or the what people really need to know, is finished, it will be off the air again. Senator Chuck Hagel, who's not a real big wig in Washington, D.C., and nobody ever paid much attention to him until recently, he was invited to attend the Bilderberg meeting. And that makes you a big wheel in the world, by the way. And now, all of a sudden, on CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Senator Chuck Hagel is there just about every 10 minutes telling everybody that this changes America forever. Nothing will ever be the same. This is going to have major effect upon all of the citizens of America for the rest of their lives. And he's not talking about emotionally. He's talking about your rights, your freedoms. He's telling you. He's warning you in advance that he and others of his ilk are going to strip your rights from you. They're going to change the definition of freedom. And nothing is ever, ever going to be the same in this country. Even though American citizens had nothing to do with it, they're going to pay for it with their freedom, with their rights. That is, if you accept it. If you accept it. Me, I don't accept it. You already know that. I won't ever give in to tyranny. I won't bow my knee. I will not kiss the ring or kiss anything else, for that matter. Absolutely will not do it. So, that's the name of that tune. Lots of other stuff is going on here. You're gonna find out what this means, but it's gonna take a period of time, folks. If you've been listening to my lectures and my talks before I ever went on the air, if you've been listening to the Hour of the Time on the air since May the 4th, 1992, that was our first broadcast, you know I predicted everything that has happened, and I predicted what the consequences would be, and I hate the fact that I'm right, but I am right, and you all know it. If you've been listening to me, you know it. And this is one of the things that I predicted, and gosh, I wrote about it in my book. I told you there would be a terrible terrorist event. The government would go underground. And, you know, if you read the book, you know the rest.
This morning I issued an order suspending the primary across the state. There will be no primary today, and we'll reschedule it once we get through this.
The
Chancellor, I commend the Chancellor. He was on the phone a number of times with us. He coordinated very, very carefully what would happen. He thought it out, and he came up with a very good plan, which was essentially to keep the schools open, to keep the children in school, so we didn't have a large number of children.
You just heard Governor Pataki of New York admit that New York State is also under martial law, which it probably should be, to deal with this emergency. when he said that he, by governor executive order, suspended the primary elections, he admitted that the state of New York is under martial law, even though there's been no official declaration. You see, elections, even primaries, are dictated by law. You cannot change the law unless you suspend the law. And the only way to suspend the law is to declare martial law.
Is normal, so the children should be able to return from school in the normal fashion. And if any children don't have parents to pick them up, then we'll hold them, let the parents know, and then the parents can come.
Mr. Mayor, you mentioned you were on Barclay Street. What's the radius of damage that's been affected? How many of those side streets down the road?
I don't think we know yet. The whole area of Lower Manhattan has been very much affected by it.
How many
police
fire are involved?
How many
all NYPD
off-duty
officers that they come in?
All NYPD and FDNY officers are on duty now. And we're going to need all of them. And again, thanks to the governor and the way in which the state reacted, we will have 1,600 National Guard to relieve them over a period of time so we can get some relief for them.
Is anybody looking for someone that may have been in the World Trade Center or in and around that area? What should they be?
We're going to give you numbers so that we can try to help coordinate that. Individual businesses have already done that. But we will, as soon as we can find some time from the relief efforts, give you a number in which people can call and then we can direct them to the right place.
The National Guard
any lawlessness?
There have been no reports of lawlessness, no reports of looting. As I said, we saw a lot of people that were part of the escape effort, and they seem to be conducting themselves in a very, very sensible way, a very deliberate way. They seem to be helping each other. So I don't think we have any reports like that at all.
So the only National Guard we'll see will be in Lower Manhattan in the bomb site area. They won't be patrolling the rest of Manhattan.
No, the purpose of it is to help with the relief effort. We're gonna need the help of the state, surrounding areas with heavy duty equipment.
National Guard troops, some have arrived already, and we expect to have up to close to 2,000 between the National Guard and the state police by later this evening.
I think everything is closed for now, and then maybe in about an hour or two, we can give you an update on what the plan will be for tomorrow.
There's something very strange about what Mayor Giuliani and Governor Pataki have been telling us this morning. The firemen, the EMT, the police officers, the people who are trained professionally to operate these kinds of rescue and emergency efforts are now going to be relieved by the National Guard. And the National Guard is going to take over completely from these people. And that doesn't make any sense, because these firemen and police officers and emergency medical technicians and doctors and nurses and all of the people, police officers who have been on the scene, many of whom were killed, have only been working for just a few short hours. And by no means could possibly be totally exhausted or worked out. And when the National Guard comes in, they're not trained to handle these kinds of things. They're trained to maintain order and perform military types of tasks. So why are they telling us, and see this, I don't understand, why are they telling us that they're going to completely relieve all of the civilian firefighting personnel, police officers, emergency medical technicians, all of the people who in their normal everyday job are used to responding to and dealing with these kinds of emergencies, not as vast or as terrible or as catastrophic as this, but that's their job. And now they're telling us that, as you know, they've mobilized the National Guard, and the National Guard is going to relieve all these people and take over completely all of their duties. Now, that to me is highly suspicious. I think it's wrong. And I am very, very worried that that's being done because these people are under military order. And if they talk about what they see or what they do or what they find, they can be immediately arrested and locked away in a military prison like forever because they don't have constitutional rights. And that bothers me. The civilian firefighters and police and all that, when they get in there and start investigating and uncovering stuff, I know what they're going to find. And it looks to me like somebody doesn't want them to find this stuff and report about it. So they're going to put the military in there. Even if it is the National Guard of the state of New York, still the military. They're still under military law. They have no constitutional rights. They can be silenced and gagged and whatever they see and whatever they remove and whatever they uncover, they can never talk about because they can be immediately arrested by the military police and locked up for the rest of their life. It's that simple. The military can do that. The military can do that. Military personnel do not, as a matter of course, have the protections that the civilian population has under the Constitution. So I hate to tell you that, but you know, what other reason would he have for relieving these people whose job it is to deal with these kinds of disasters, who are the most trained to deal with these kinds of disasters, who are the best people to deal with these kinds of disasters?
Your phone calls, McKinleyville, California. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I just like to say that I feel sorry for the families that have to watch this stuff on TV, the people that were killed in that plane crash. I don't know how many times I've seen it on TV. Why do we keep showing this stuff on TV? It's so sad that these people have died, and yet it just keeps being shown over and over and over again. And all I see is like a media race to see who can show it the most on TV. All we're doing is giving these terrorists just like a praise by showing it all on TV, and all these people are just, it's just terrible to see that the families that have people that were killed on that plane.
Thanks, caller. Rose City, Michigan, you're next.
Thank you.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, my name is Mark from Rose City, and all I want to say is my heart bleeds for the innocent people murdered. All I can say is that the greatest fears of the entire Middle East have just been realized, and that just happens to be the unleashing of a United States as one to eliminate these gutless murderers. You'll get yours, pal. You know you will. Thanks.
Judge, jury, and executioner, this clown has no idea who did it. And I guarantee you, if there was somebody from the Middle East living next door to him, he'd be over trashing their house or beating them up or shooting at them or something like that. This is a sickness.
Forward from it. The flags around Washington now moving to half-staff. The Capitol has been shut down, which explains why the flag remains at the top over the U.S. Capitol, but over the Russell Senate Office Building and the Dirksen Senate Office Building, the flags have been lowered out of respect for those who have been killed and injured today. The chairman of the Democratic National Committee, there have been some calls on this, has issued a statement. By the way, the Democrats were scheduled to meet in Miami for the annual fall meeting. That has been canceled because of today's events. And Terry McAuliffe saying that there are no partisans today, only patriots. As leaders in your community, I know that you will join your fellow citizens to demonstrate our solidarity as America and its people and express our sympathy for those Americans whose lives were taken today.
Did you hear that, folks? More hypocrisy. After the Oklahoma City bombing, patriots were vilified. Patriot was a dirty word. Patriot was the worst thing that you could ever think of, and nobody in this country wanted to say that they were a patriot because of the way that the press crucified patriots in this country. And now they're saying, we're all patriots, right? We'll see how that will change in the next few days.
15 minutes ago, Fox News reported that Barbara Olson was one of the hijacked airplanes aboard and was killed. I saw her on Washington Journal on Sunday, and I will miss her very much, as will all of us. She was on with Bill Press, taking your calls on Sunday's Washington Journal. Also from Reuben Patterson, the idea of using commercial planes to attack American targets is straight out of Tom Clancy's book, Executive Orders. Another view said that if we respond to this tragedy with hate, we will only encourage more of the same, from Fred Murray. And first, from Bill Fortnitz, saying, I want to send out my condolences to the survivors and family members of the deceased. And second, let us also show that a missile defense system and all the money that it will cost will not stop such attacks. And finally, one other comment says, is anyone really...
No, it won't. But for the fool that wrote that, it might stop an attack that will eventually come, not today, but eventually, from communist China. And since they have allied themselves and made such a strong alliance with Russia now, you watch, communism is coming back in Russia. It's going to be the same old boogie stuff all over again. And eventually, if we don't succumb to the New World Order, if we don't agree to become a part of this socialist world government, we will be attacked by communist China, and because of their alliance with Russia, maybe by Russia also. And we do need a missile defense for that. So many people don't want us to be defended. They destroyed our defenses that would have prevented these attacks from happening this morning. For instance, when I was in the military, when I was in the Air Force, there could never have been, these attacks could never have been carried out. As soon as these airplanes were hijacked, they would have had Air Force fighters escorting them. If they had attempted to carry out the missions that they did this morning, they would have been shot down right out of the skies, and that whole thing would have been coordinated by the North American Air Defense Command, which doesn't operate in that capacity anymore. You know what they're doing now? They're shooting down missionaries in South America because they mistakenly believe that they're drug planes. That's what's happened to our military.
Idaho Falls, Idaho, good afternoon.
Yes, I just wanted to make a couple real quick points. It doesn't, just because this accident happened in New York and so many people were killed and injured, it doesn't warrant an unconditional support of President Bush or his policies. We know that policies in the past have led to these sort of situations. And also, it's impossible to recognize, or it's pretty obvious that the military couldn't have responded very adequately. The conventional military could have responded very adequately to these attacks.
Thanks, caller. Next, St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Good afternoon.
Hi. My prayers goes out to all the innocent children today. Are not going to have any mothers or fathers.
Thanks for the call. Corn Row, Texas, you're next.
I would just like to say that I'm a teenager here in Conroe, and it's really scaring a lot of us, and we don't know what to do. And so I'm praying for everyone there in New York who are central to it.
Thanks, caller. Next, we're going to go to... Actually, let me just share this information with you from the President. President Bush is returning to the White House, according to a spokesman, again, the President coming back to Washington. We are showing you coverage from not only stations in Washington and New York, but also the CBC in Canada. We'll show you how they are covering the events up there.
In the event, there are more attacks planned, and there is a plan to attack the leadership of the United States, Clinton saying that in an interview just a short time ago.
All right, Henry. Yeah.
We have no word whether he's returning to Washington or what his destination is, Peter.
Okay, that's great. Bush said to be leaving in Omaha, and what is clear, we don't know where he's going, but it's clear that they're keeping him on the move. He never seems to be in one place too long. He was in Louisiana for a couple of hours at most, and he now... has been in Omaha for the last couple of hours. We're now being told now that he is now on his way back, or is about to be on his way back to Washington, coming in from Omaha, and we'll have to obviously make judgments about what that means. In fact, yes, it's now been officially announced he is returning to the White House. Now, whether that means that the security officials that are around the president feel that the security threat is now has now dropped dropped from where it was a little while ago, or whether it's being decided for any number of reasons, including political ones, that he should be returning to Washington, is still yet to be determined. One assumes the American people will be hearing from their president later tonight, but we don't know that with any certainty. But it certainly wouldn't surprise us, and I know, Henry, it wouldn't surprise you either if by the time he gets back to Washington that he's not appearing at 8 or 9 o'clock tonight Washington time in a full address to the nation.
I certainly expect that, and I think we should say, and I'm sure you agree with me here, it's entirely possible that in Nebraska the president ordered his security people to take him back to Washington. After all, he's a politician, and he understands the issues of appearance and the gravitas of the situation, but it is a fact that Washington is abuzz about the fact that he's not here at the moment.
All right, Henry Tramp reporting to us from Washington. Henry, we'll be back to you again. We are told that in about 7 or 8 minutes' time we should have a new...
We want to thank the CBC, and we will be checking in with them from time to time during the course of the evening and simulcasting some of their coverage also on our companion network, C-SPAN 2. Palm Desert, California, go ahead.
Yes, without being critical of the Islamic fraternity throughout the world, the American people should be conscious of the fact that religious antagonism throughout the world is common toward Christian and other religions, and that in many areas such as Malaysia, Indonesia, the Middle East, there is constant friction between the two sets of religions, and perhaps our strategy, our national strategy, should be to ameliorate and reduce these sorts of religious tensions throughout the world on the part of the Islamic group toward Christian and other religions.
Thanks, caller. Ottawa, Canada, you're next.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, is it me right now?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to... just make comments on just how surprised I am at the magnitude of this event. It really is very upsetting. But there is one thing that I do have to say about the United States and what it has done throughout the world. And I think that, you know, wherever you go and wherever I've traveled, I always feel that there is a negative sentiment towards Americans and towards the country. And then when I see something like this, you know, as sad as it may be, it reminds me of that. And I just want to say how unfortunate it is, but... you know, there always is that type of sentiment across the world.
Thanks. Next, Omaha, Nebraska. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Michelle, and I'm from Omaha, Nebraska. And first, I want to say that my prayers go out to all the families and everything. And I also had, my question is, why do we keep announcing where we're taking the president? Because if he is in, you know, if they're going after the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon and whatnot, who's to say that these terrorists aren't going to go for the president next?
Thanks very much for the call. And as we are told again from ABCnews.com, two things. First of all, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, initiating its first ever national grounding of all planes, allowing no private or commercial flights anywhere in the country. And with the president and his movement, he began this morning in Sarasota, Florida, went to Louisiana, then on to Omaha, Nebraska, and then finally to, we're told, on his way back to Washington, D.C. Military fighter jets are escorting the president as the heightened security continues because of what happened this morning. Next call is from Cali, California. Go ahead. You're on C-SPAN.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
This is just totally incomprehensible, as I think we're going to find out over the next few days. I personally don't think the president is a target. I think they want him alive so they can make him look like a fool. And I feel like tomorrow we're going to have more targets hit. I don't think they're through with this yet.
Thanks, caller. Virginia Beach, Virginia, good afternoon.
Yes, I'd just like to say that there's a time for peace and a time for war. And I think we need to declare war on some of these little piss-ass countries and eliminate the problem at the head and not just fight the war and leave the man in power and nobody there to take his place. If you eliminate the head honcho on all these little piss-ass countries, and then they say the enemy you know is worse than the one you don't know, well, then if we don't like the one we don't know, we eliminate him too. Just knock them all off.
Oh, there's another, you know, big, intelligent, really neat, you know, guy with lots of brains. He's already decided that Saddam Hussein did it. And he's all angry because Saddam Hussein wasn't killed.
Hey, gang, yeah. Where do they come from? I mean, why can't people use their brain? nobody knows who did this yet. Nobody knows who's responsible. But if you listen, keep listening to these callers, they know.
Police talking about security around the perimeter of the U.S. Capitol.
Good afternoon. I'm Lieutenant Dan Nichols. I'm spokesman with the United States Capitol Police. This is certainly a sad day for the United States of America. We've taken some extraordinary measures today to ensure the protection of the citizens, the staff, and the members of Congress here within the Capitol complex. The leadership of the House and Senate has asked me to read the following statement on their behalf, and I'll have a few points to make afterwards. Following my statements, I'll take a few questions. Certainly. This statement is issued on behalf of the joint leadership of the House and the Senate of the United States. We are outraged at this cowardly attack on the people of the United States. Our heartfelt prayers are with the victims and their families, and we stand strongly united behind the President as our Commander-in-Chief. We will work with him to ensure that the full resources of the United States government are brought to bear to protect the American people and punish the perpetrators of these unconscionable acts. May God bless America. First, on behalf of the United States Congress and the United States Capitol Police, let me express my deepest sympathies to the victims of today's terrorist attacks in New York and in Washington, D.C. I understand there's some other incidents elsewhere also. This is certainly a tough time for the United States. I just left a meeting upstairs with the members of Congress. We were briefing them and apprising them of the situation. I think if there's one message you're going to hear throughout this from members of Congress is that we will not bend to this type of terrorism. The United States Congress is strong, and they're determined to do what they can to assist their constituents and to ensure that the legislative branch of the United States government continues to function and that they continue to do the people's business on behalf of the nation. There are going to be some tough days ahead for us, but the members of Congress are aware of that, and they're very interested in doing whatever they can to assist the President in bringing those who perpetrated these acts to justice and also offering whatever assistance they can to the victims' families. After these terrorist attacks occurred, as a measure of security and safety, we took the measure to evacuate the buildings. This is the first time we had a mandatory evacuation of the Capitol and the House and Senate office buildings. We took this precaution to ensure that
That's not true, folks. It happened during the War of 1812 when we fought the British again. In fact, they burned Washington, D.C., and everything was evacuated. So, you know, watch out what you listen to. This guy works in Washington. He should know the history of the city, but apparently he doesn't.
We're providing them the information we can on a timely basis to keep them informed so they can continue to provide constituent services. We've also taken the measure of ensuring that the leadership of the House and Senate is protected to ensure the continuity of government. They have been removed from the Capitol complex, and they are currently at a safe location that's going to remain undisclosed. They are also in a position where they can continue to confer with the President of the United States and ensure that the resources of the United States government will be brought to bear to aid the victims and to bring those who are responsible for these acts to justice. We'll make a decision later this afternoon. The House and Senate leadership will make a decision this afternoon regarding the status of the legislative business of Congress, whether or not we'll convene this afternoon or tomorrow.